Shopify's already taken the cash register online, helping millions sell billions around the world. But did you know that Shopify can do the same thing at your retail store? Give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify. That's right, Shopify is the sound of selling everywhere. Online, in-store, on social media, and beyond. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. With Shopify POS, you can accept credit cards, mobile payments, and every other major payment method, all with low fees and transparent pricing, starting on day one. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/MLB podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/MLB podcast to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/MLB podcast.
Odyssey Sports presents Big Time Baseball.
Yes, indeed. We are approaching spring training, less than a month away. Welcome to another episode of Big Time Baseball. I'm Tony Gwynn Jr. alongside my partner, John Heyman. John, how are you, my man? The clock is ticking. I know you're getting ready to head to either Arizona or Florida for the start of spring training.
Yep, very excited. Starting with the Mets here in Florida. Going to be here for about 10 days and then heading to Arizona where I will join you, and a lot of good storylines there as well.
Let's talk about some of those storylines. Spring training approaching. A lot of new chess pieces have been moved to different places. What are some of the storylines you're looking forward to?
Well, first thing for me, and the biggest thing to me, would be Otani. He's a free agent after the year. Can the Angels do something to keep him long term? You know, obviously we think the chances are long there, but they would love to give it a shot. We'll see if the Otani camp will allow them to even negotiate here in spring training. A lot of big deals have been done in spring training. This one, probably a long shot, because we're going to looking at the biggest contract in baseball history coming, but more likely in the winter. I'll be surprised if the Angels can get it done. Maybe Otani will give them an audience at least.
Now, from an Angels standpoint, they did go out. They weren't dormant during the offseason. They made some moves to improve that ball club. We'll see how it goes. The other news that came out of Anaheim was the fact that Artie Moreno was going to sell the team, has changed his mind at this point. He is no longer the selling team. My question to you, does that help or hurt this Otani situation?
Well, I think the moves they made probably helped the situation to some degree. I think they did a very nice job on, you know, a decent budget, not the well over $100 million that a lot of the teams spent. I mean, there was a real dichotomy. There were seven or eight teams that spent the bulk of the money. The Angels were kind of on the fringe of that. They spent a little bit less than $100 million, but did well. They got Renfro. They got Urshela. They got Tyler Anderson, Estevez for the bullpen. So, I think they did a very good job there. And, you know, maybe Otani will be impressed, but probably not going to overcome the fact that he hasn't played in the playoffs yet after 5 years. The other issue is Artie Moreno staying, and he loves the game, couldn't do it. He was probably going to get over $3 billion after buying it for $183.5 million. That would have been a nice profit. I think I might have sold if I were him, but – I think that the best hope they had was if Joe Lacob, the owner of the Golden State Warriors, got the team. He was one of the five viable bidders, and the bids were going to start on February 15th. So upcoming, and they were going to have bids. And I look at the Warriors. My God, Steph Curry has been there for a long time. You know, you've got Draymond Green. I'm not a basketball expert. You might want to help me out here, but
look at you! Look at you giving some of your basketball acumen there. I see it.
Well, I know they're way. I am a money guy. They are way over the threshold, or you know, they do spend a lot. He pays a lot of tax, and this is something Artie Moreno has not been willing to do. Now, of course, to keep Otani, he's going to have to pay some tax, and he knows that, I'm sure, and he'll make an effort. So, I think he will go back on his. His way of doing things and never going over the luxury threshold. But, you know, to have Joe Lacob in there, who was one of the bidders.
Game changer.
That would have been huge for the Angels. You know, at this point, you know, a rival tell me they thought it was 5% that he's in an Angels uniform next year. And there's going to be some active bidders. The Dodgers, obviously, the Giants, probably the Mariners.
Padres.
Yep, that's it. Yeah, the Padres. I think that's a big one. They've already got five superstars. You know, Machado's got an opt-out, which is, I'm not saying that hopefully, because he's been great. In my mind, he was the MVP this year. You know, I'm not sure where they come up with the money, but a lot of people are expecting them to bid big. And, of course, you've got Steve Cohn there. You know, he's at a 90% tax bracket right now with Steve Cohn tax. Going to go to 110%. So, you know, if Ohtani gets $50 million a year, he's not going to be paying $100 million a year for one player. You know, there are still teams that don't have $100 million payroll.
To your point about the Warriors ownership and how much of a game changer that could be, you're seeing that with Cohen in the Mets. I mean, you get an owner that's willing to go over that threshold and pay the tax, it's a game changer, at least for the current future.
The Padres, too, your team there. I mean, they're the two teams that really, you know, not worried about making a profit. I do assume that the Padres will lose some money this year. The Mets clearly will lose money with a $480 million payroll and tax. There's no way around it. And, you know, you just have to give those guys credit for putting winning ahead of the profit. Now, it might be easier for Cohn when he's got, you know, a reported $17 billion in the bank, and that's probably light. You know, I mean, he supposedly his fund was up more than 10% this year. I don't know how he did it. I don't know how your stocks did, but he was up 10% for his investors, and I'm sure for himself. You know, he's probably over the $20 billion mark now. So, you know, maybe he can pay the $100 million a year for Ohtani. The thing I think, though, Ohtani kind of maybe tipped his hand a little bit when he had seven finalists last year and five of them were on the West Coast. The other two were Texas and the Cubs. No East Coast team. So, you know, it may take some convincing to get him to New York.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think that was a tip of the hand, at least in what his preference is, should he have a choice. I think the second biggest storyline outside of Shohei Ohtani is Trevor Bauer. Certainly got his release from the Dodgers. Depending on who you believe, they wanted him back, then changed their mind, or they never wanted him, depending on, as I said, who you believe. Do you think Trevor ends up with the team at some point this season?
You know, I would go 50-50. I know I'm hedging there. It's very iffy. You know, it's going to be up to ownership, and that's the way it was with the Dodgers. I think you're going to find a lot of baseball ops, a lot of GMs who are willing to take that chance. Of course, they don't own the team, right? You know, they're not responsible for the number of the ticket sales. They're not worried about the protests. They just want to win. So some of them will not be willing to do it, but I think there will be many who are, because obviously he's a top of the rotation pitcher. I know he's missed some time, but if he can pick up where he had left off, top of the rotation pitcher at the minimum, you know, there's going to be a lot. It's going to be tempting for a lot of baseball ops people. And I do think that there were some, and I don't know which ones, there were some people in the Dodgers baseball department who were like, you know, it would be nice if we could have him back. You know, that may have been short-lived. They may not have ever had a real chance. And the real decision makers, as Stan Kasten said, were unanimous in saying, no, we're not going to have him back. You know, it's been 3 weeks now as we do this podcast, more than 3 weeks, and he doesn't have anything yet. So that's not a great sign. I did think it would take a while because I felt like he had to meet with ownership to really convince them. I didn't think it would be a quick signing, but, you know, I'm not sure that he's going to get a deal at this point. And maybe it'll take till after spring training. You know, there's so much media around spring training. They may wait till the media is all back in the cities that they're following the team and just have them come work out at the camp. It's got to be a small market team, too, I think. You know, there are teams with basically no media, not your team, not the New York teams, but there are teams out there that have like one newspaper and then the MLB.com, and that's it. Right. And, you know, maybe he gets a job with one of those teams.
It's certainly one of those situations where, as you said, injuries happen. And when there's a guy that talented out there, a lot of times that will be the deciding factor. But you're right. I think at this point, it's kind of a waiting game to see how if the temperature kind of calms a little bit, and only time will tell. The two aces in New York, Verlander, Scherzer, they played together back in Detroit. And I remember hearing that that relationship wasn't necessarily the greatest. These two guys are at different points of their life, though, it seems like.
Yeah, I think so. That's what Justin Verlander said at his press conference, that at that time they were both young, single, hard-charging guys dedicated to making sure that they would become as great as they could be, and both give them credit. They're both, at this point, you know, clear Hall of Famers. You might even say all-time greats. You know, I couldn't pick one or the other. They're both fantastic. Both had great, great careers. So give them credit. That personality did pay off. But, you know, sometimes you have two guys who are, you know, vying to be the top dog. It doesn't always work out. They don't always become fast friends. And I was told just, you know, don't expect a love fest. That said, you know, I don't think either guy would let anything stand in the way of trying to win. They did win a lot in Detroit. They get to the World Series together. Did have some great years there. And so, I don't think it's going to affect the team. But, you know, I'm not expecting seeing them together constantly like we saw Bassett with Scherzer last year. You know, you'd see relationships developing. You know, I think at this stage, they're going to be better than they were. They're both now married. They both have children. You know, they've both long established themselves as stars. I think it'll be better, but it doesn't mean they're going to be close friends.
Yeah, you don't have to be. I guarantee you there's a mutual respect between those two because of how great they've both been. They don't necessarily have to jive together on everything, but that you would think that duo is going to be a pretty tough one to deal with.
You know, you were on a lot of teams, Tony. You were on a lot of teams. Do you recall any tension between the star players on the team?
Yeah.
And
oh yeah,
I mean,
it's a competitive it's not always kumbaya in those locker rooms. As you said, when you have two alpha males in the same area, and in that case, same position, you know, so there is some type of competition, whether they'll admit to it or not. Yeah, same status. I mean,
who's had the better career? I mean, I have to go over the stats right now and to try to even think of it, but they're basically in a dead heat, aren't they? I mean, I think the strikeout total, they were going back and forth.
I think they keep passing one another, it seems like, every other start.
Exactly.
But you know what? That's okay. I think, but the beauty is, especially in a game of baseball, when you get a chance to play as long as these two have, you start to see what the bigger picture is. And I think they're both at this point in it to try to win a World Series. So I think that's one we'll certainly keep an eye on. A guy who left from New York and headed to Texas, Jacob DeGrom. He'll be the ace for the Rangers this year. The whole American League West has become a pretty interesting division. I think the Astros are still the team to beat, but I think the Mariners got better. The Rangers certainly got better. And, you know, the Angels, I mean, some of the moves for that ball club got better. So that division as a whole is going to be better. But let's talk Jacob DeGrom first, him going to the Rangers. That's one of the bigger storylines as well.
Yeah, not unexpected that he left the Mets. He was very upset about that contract and never liked it. You know, just did not think it was the right contract. And you know what? I mean, you know, I can't say that anyone would accuse me of being the biggest DeGrom supporter, but he turned out to be absolutely 100% right. He was worth way more on the open market. He turned that opt. I mean, guys this year turned the opt-outs. I mean, Bogarts turned it into $280 million. You know, Correa turned it into, well, first $350 million, eventually $200 million, that will be $270 million. And DeGrom, $185 million. That was one of the bigger and better player deals in a very, very hot market. I give him credit for being correct on the opt-out all along. And, you know, some people don't love New York. It might have been New York. It certainly was the contract. They'll probably be happier in Texas. I know Buck Showalter did an interview with SI saying how the open spaces. Maybe you'll like that better. He's from DeLand, Florida, which is, I would consider it rural, being a city person myself, but certainly right. more open space. And he might find that in Arlington, Texas, and a fresh start, probably good for him. But boy, the Rangers, they just rebuilt that whole staff. Beyond DeGrom, you've got Eovaldi, you've got Heaney, you've got Odorizzi. You know, the entire rotation has been rebuilt, and they are, at least on paper, and we'll see how it all comes together, they are clearly a playoff threat. I'm not going to say better than Houston. Houston's still the favorite. Went out and got Abreu. Yeah. They did lose Verlander, but, you know, they were pretty darn good last year as the World Series champion, pretty dominant team. So not a favorite in that division, but I think they've got a good shot at the playoffs, at least if they can play up to their capability. And Bruce Bochy being there, I mean,
that's right. You know,
that's a big plus as well.
Do you expect any movement during spring training in terms of trades? Because I remember last year, there were a couple of trades before the season started. I know the Padres were in on a couple of different ones. I think Manaea came over the day a couple of weeks before spring training ended. And then you had Rogers come over from Minnesota. I think it was the day of opening day. You expect any deals to happen during spring training?
Well, you can't put anything past AJ Preller. He might be, he's apt to do anything at any time. And the big name that's still out there is Brian Reynolds, the center fielder from the Pirates, who's requested a trade. He was offered a 6-year deal for about $76 million with no opt-out. So it was better than the Murphy deal that Murphy signed with the Braves. You know, it's probably a little light, but apparently they have a major gap, and you know, he wants to be dealt. And this agency has used this playbook before, and Real Muto was dealt when he wasn't happy with the way the negotiations were going with the Marlins. It took a year, though, in that case. A lot of people think maybe at the deadline is a possibility, because the Pirates, you know, they don't want to make a trade where they're taking a step back. You know, their fans,
right,
not too happy.
I bet.
It was nice they brought McCutchen back. That's a nice present. That's a good gift for the fans. Rich Hill, but I mean, obviously this isn't a youth movement. I love Rich Hill, but, you know, they did some things. So give them credit for that. But, you know, they have some players too. I mean, Key Brian Hayes, very good. I think O'Neill Cruz is going to be a really good player. And with Reynolds, so they're not in a great division. I mean, they don't look like they could contend against St. Louis, Milwaukee, and maybe the Cubs. But I still don't think they're going to trade him in spring training. But that's the big name that's out there and being talked about. Other teams are saying they're asking for a Soto-like trade. I can't see anybody giving up that kind of prospect stash. Reynolds, a really good player, center fielder, good bat. I mean, he's not Soto. I mean, there's a reason Soto turned down $440 million and he turned down $76 million. That's a big gap, right? So there's no Soto deal coming for them. But, you know, two good prospects, you know, that's fair. But I just think that I'm going to say they keep him at least into the deadline.
I'd be remiss if I didn't talk a little bit about the Padres here as we get ready to head into spring training. Have to be one of the favorites in the National League to come out of it. I think about it. It takes me back to the NLCS. I think the Phillies, they got better during this offseason. I think the Padres got better during this offseason. Let's start with the Padres. Do you see this team as one of the favorites coming out of the National League?
Oh, they got to be. I mean, to me, they're the clear favorite in the West, and that's something. I know they beat the Dodgers in the playoffs, but the Dodgers clearly were a better team last year. There clearly was a gap. Dodgers won 111 games. I mean, I'm not sure what went on there, why they let so many guys go and didn't really make an attempt to sign. The one thing they did try to do was to sign Verlander, and they offered somewhere in the 70, $75 million range, I believe. So they were outbid there for Verlander. But other than that, the Dodgers, you know, made smaller deals, J.D. Martinez, you know, and then they let so many guys leave. Obviously, Trey Turner and Justin Turner, two of the big ones, Tyler Anderson. Their payroll is going to be down in this day and age, down like 60, 70 million. And they're going to have to, and that's including paying 20 something million for Bauer that they're going to have to pay this year. So
did they end up getting underneath the threshold?
No, they are over the threshold. That was I don't know if that was a goal, but it seemed like they wanted to get the payroll down. They spent so much last year and were very disappointed to lose to their rival Padres after, you know, you saw it. I mean, they beat the Padres silly in the regular season. And then when it counted, Padres were fantastic and knocked them out. So, you know, they look like they're going to be a 90 something win team instead of 111 win team, but clearly they're always a threat. But the Padres, I mean, you know, it just seems like there are some guys, some owners right now. We have that era where there are a few owners that just will do anything to win. The Padres and the Phillies, the two teams, and they were rewarded for doing this, and they're continuing to do it. Phillies beat they built their team on free agency. You know, people say, oh, you can't build your team. You got to build your team from within. They built that team on free agency and got to the World Series. So he's continuing with that to get Turner from the Dodgers and Kimbrel and Taijuan Walker. I mean, they did a ton, and they look really tough. The NL East is going to be a beast. And the Padres, I mean, adding Bogaerts, bringing Suarez back. I mean, this is a mid-market team. We all used to think they were small market. It's not. San Diego is a mid-market. You live there. You know, it's not that small a city, but
no,
they're acting like one of the biggest markets going. And I give Peter Seidler credit. Fantastic job to bring Bogaerts in there. And now you have five superstars. Once Tatis comes back, that's five superstars on this team that could not afford to keep Chase Headley. I'm sure you remember that a few years ago, right?
Good player, right? They couldn't afford to keep a lot of guys for a while.
But that was the one that stands out in my mind for whatever reason. Good player, not a superstar, and they couldn't swing it. All of a sudden now that Seidler has taken over for Fowler,
it's
five superstars.
It's a great view of the different ideologies of the owners, right? And how they approach it. You have Peter Seidler going for it, trying to win, even if that means going over a tax. Now he's not doing Cohen type stuff, but he is spending to make the team competitive, right? And then you have ownership like in Colorado, let's say, for instance, where they don't quite understand why Peter Seidler's doing what he's doing. And it's mind-blowing because ultimately the fans are the one that benefit from Peter Seidler putting it all out there and spending the money to make the team better.
Yeah, I mean, there is a benefit to not spending, to towing the line. You get to be on the owner's negotiating committee. You know, I was standing out there at the CBA, right? Fowler is on the negotiating committee, the old Padres owner. He's in good with MLB. You got the Rockies owner. He's like the head of the negotiating committee. I don't know. It's like a plum assignment or something. Like, I don't know. Is it just a coincidence that the guys who tow the line, they get these assignments, and then Seidler's not getting this assignment. You know, Middleton's not going to get the assignment. And certainly Steve Cohen isn't getting any assignments. You know,
they're not
too happy with him. I mean, once he signed or agreed to, they made the agreement, they didn't sign him. Correa, I mean, the other owners were quite annoyed at that. And, you know, it was like, you know, he's never going to get any assignments. And I talked to him about it. And he's like, oh, he tells me I'm on the investment committee. I said, well, you better be you should be the investment committee. Is somebody else on the committee with you? I don't know if he was kidding that he's on the he said, I'm on the investment committee. It's a plum assignment. I don't know if he was kidding or what, but I mean, hopefully you know, obviously Milwaukee they're good with investments. Adnazio is an expert in equities, and Tampa Bay, Sternberg as well. There are a few other guys like that, but I mean, what are you going to do, kick them off the investment committee? I mean, if you're trying to invest to make money, here's a guy who made money last year. But, you know, he wants to win. He wants to win for the fans. He wants to win for himself. And, you know, it's not going to make him that popular, especially now his payroll's 30% above everyone else. And then if you count the tax, it's 50% above everybody else. And if he'd signed Correa, he would be, you know, through the roof. And,
yeah.
You know, I give him credit. Seidler, Middleton, and Cone, I think we're heroes of the offseason. Even though Cone didn't finish the deal that he wanted to do, I give them credit.
I'll say this. In my experience, water always finds its level. And so Coach Steve Cone is spending big in these first couple years. Eventually, it'll come back down at some point. But for now, as you said, 30% higher than everybody else. That's just among the many different storylines we got going as we head into spring training and only a few weeks out. That's going to do it for this episode of Big Time Baseball. Make sure you subscribe, like, wherever you get your podcasts. For John Heyman, I'm Tony Gwynn Jr. We'll catch you later.